the sacrifice was going to happen. So Krishna went there with Nanda Maharaj, and he was only wearing the kaupini. He has not even come out of that stage. It was such an early days in life. That Nanda Maharaj said, well, after going there, after a few hours, the whole scene changed. The sky was changing and there was became very cloudy. And there was thunder and lightning and all started. As soon as this started, Krishna held Nanda Maharaj and said to him, I want to see my mummy now. Right now I want to see him. So when Krishna said that, Nanda Maharaj got upset and said to Krishna, that I told you before that don't come with me and you will create this problem for me. That's why I told you to stay home. And this Nanda Maharaj had one good quality, that no matter what Krishna says, he will never say no. He will always agree. That was such a fortunate person he was. Never in his life once, he said, in the Bhagavatam you will find in the 10th canto so many instances what all Nanda Maharaj has done to please Krishna. And it is unlimited things he had to do. So Nanda Maharaj at the end said to Krishna that, look, I cannot leave now. I am coming here to organize all these things. Krishna said, no, I have to see my mother now. I cannot make any concession on that, he said. He was so frightened. So Nanda Maharaj said to Krishna, when thinking what else to do, now by then Radharani came that way. Radharani was older than Krishna that time when she came that way. And Nanda Maharaj called Radharani and told her, look at this coward here, standing here. He's so frightened of this. He wants to see his mother. Please take him home now. Radharani took him and kept her on her sides, like the women carry the children on the side, held him like that, and started walking back home, back to Dobrajam. And while walking back, it seems, what happened was they turned the corner and just started going away. Krishna said to Radharani that, can you just leave me on the ground for a while? So Radharani got a bit worried, what's he up to now? Now, she was frightened that he's going to do something that it'll cause problems. So immediately Radharani put him on the ground. As soon as she put him on the ground, Krishna took up his actual form. That's why we find the first verse in Gita Govindam. Jayadeva Goswami gives this information to us. Mekher meduram ambaram manabhuvi shyamatamaladrumam mattam virudayam todeva tadimam radhe griham bhavaya. That Nanda Maharaj is saying to Radharani, Radhe Griham Prabhaya, that take this boy with you. Meghair Meduram Ambaram, the sky is fully covered with the clouds. Vanabhuvishyama Tamaladrumam Natam Virudayam Todeva Tadimam Radhe Griham Prabhaya. That this frightened person, this Krishna, is so frightened. If he doesn't see his mother now, he's going to be a lot of problems. So, ittam nandan desha dachalidayo pratyanja gunjandrumai radha madhavayo jayalli yamuna gule ahakelayam. That as instructed by Nanda Maharaj, ittam nandan desha dachalidayo pratyanja gunjandrumai radha madhavayo. As soon as Krishna grew up and became, as we call it as, tarunyaram paramyam paramasukharasa swadaro manjidangai avidam naradadir vilasadu vanishal sundari mandalesham. That as soon as Krishna took up his tarunya arambharanam, just like that youthful form, when he took Radharani and they went into the bushes to perform their confidential pastimes. And this is information we receive from Jayadeva Goswami. This was actually shown to Jayadeva Goswami along with many other pastimes too. That is why he was able to present it in such an elegant way in this Gita Govindam. So Gita Govindam has a very, very elevated, very exalted position in the Krishna consciousness literature. And and we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in many instances, it's mentioned how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not discuss Gita Govindam with any ordinary people. He discussed only with the very, very confidential devotees like Swarup Damodar, and also with the Rupa Goswami and personalities like that, because that is the level of purity and level of realization necessary to relish Gita Govindam. So Gita Govindam is actually an authoritative book on Krishna consciousness, which is necessary to give us a lot of insight into the realizations of these great souls.
Yes, I have a question in two parts. Firstly, you mentioned, and it is mentioned, that Krishna is present in all the living entities
yes.
of super soul. Does that include a plant over there and a
yes.
blade of grass?
Yes. It does. That is why when Sukadeva Goswami walked out and his father Vyasadeva called him, the plants and the creepers and the trees, they replied in return, because the super soul is present there as well. And that is the realization of the impersonalist, that they identify themselves with the Supreme Lord and they are able to acquire that. That is because a personality like Sukadeva Goswami, who had reached that level of realization, that he was able to answer back in that way.
And the second part of my question is that in the Abrahamic religions, there is a concept of God, Krishna, as the all-goodness,
mm-hmm.
and Lucifer, the fallen angel, as Satan, the
yeah.
source of all badness. Is there a different way of looking at things in Krishna consciousness, Hare Krishna philosophy?
That's a difficult question for me, because I have not much knowledge of the philosophy of the Bible, but I don't know what exactly that means, what you have said.
As a personal troublemaker of all evil, as there is a personal God,
mm-hmm.
there is a symbol of the devil, which is the opposite or the enemy of God
yeah.
in the traditions.
Yeah, in the Vedic concept, good, bad, everything comes from God. We do not say that God is away from the bad. Bad things also is coming from Krishna. Krishna is everything good or bad, avidya, knowledge and ignorance, both comes from Krishna. That is the Vedic conception. And what the living entity or the conditioned soul experiences in this world is actually under the influence of Maya. Maya means that which is actually keeping covered from our vision of Krishna. That means, in other words, between us and Krishna, Maya functions and stops us our direct relationship with Krishna. So that Maya's role, I don't know how you want to put that, but Maya, probably you can call that as a little bit of devilish in that way. But Maya is not something which is totally, you can condemn it, because Maya in the Bhagavatam, the way it is mentioned is then, that when Vedavyasa Maharshi was compiling Srimad Bhagavatam, the way he saw Maya was covering Krishna from our vision. In other words, we actually part and parcel of Krishna. That is the way Vedic understanding is. We are not separate from Krishna, we are part and parcel of Krishna. We as part and parcel of Krishna, somehow or the other we have lost that relationship from Krishna and we are influenced by the Maya. And it is the Maya's influence that is actually separating us from Krishna. So, to understand Maya, you have to read a lot more. It is very difficult to define what is Maya. One of the acharyas defines Maya as akatita gatana padiyasi Maya. Maya means actually, what you think cannot be done, can be done by Maya. Because that is one of the definitions they have given for Maya. That something what you feel cannot be done, in our imagination, least in the highest imagination, that can be done by Maya's energy. Maya can do that. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, also in other places, there are so many instances where Maya has done certain things. And if you look at that, you will realize that Maya is also another agent of Krishna, but acts on instruction from Krishna.
So there isn't a super demon figure as in the traditions of the three Abrahamic religions.
No, we have
no. Isn't an opposite figure that is.
Yeah. In the Vedic concept, basically, the Supreme Lord is there, the person Krishna.
Yes.
And then, for the maintenance of this material world, there are different. Krishna himself has accepted different forms. For example, the Trinity we call Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, the three expansions of Krishna, which is referred to as one for creation, Brahma, Vishnu for the maintenance, and Shiva for the
destruction,
yeah, or dissolution. So, like that, there is three forms. But in every universe, these three forms exist. But Krishna is above all than that, because he controls all the universes, are under him. So that is our understanding from the Vedic system, tradition.
So it is absence of Krishna more than anything that causes the strife and the...
Yes, the forgetfulness of Krishna, yes. Yes, that's right, absolutely right, yes. When we forget Krishna, we are in Maya. That's what it is, simple terms. When you say spiritual master, he's taken instructions from him.
No.
He is actually Vyasadeva's disciple. Sudha Goswami is Vyasadeva's disciple. But he... father, yeah. But all the Puranas were instructed to him by Vyasadeva. And that's what we find, that Vedavyas instructed Puranas to Sutta. Sudha Paurani, as he's called. All the Puranas were spoken by him. But he took instructions from Sudeva Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's just like you can say in the modern world as instructed spiritual master, as we say.
When Jaya Goswami writing
that's the story actually. What happened was, Jayadeva Goswami was writing this Gita Govindam, and poets have one problem. If they write something, they won't change it. Once they put it in writing, they don't want to change it. So, when he came to this particular verse, where Radharani's pastimes with Krishna was going on, discussed, it says there that Radharani was going to climb over Krishna. Yeah. He thought about it and he said, it's not a proper etiquette to the Vedic system that Radharani has climbed over Krishna's body like that. And in the Bhagavatam also you will find, when Radharani wanted to climb on top of Krishna, just at that point Krishna disappeared from the scene. In the Rasa dance you will see there. Krishna has been having the pastimes with the gopis and the Radharani. But eventually, leaving all the gopis, Krishna took Radharani away and they were together their pastimes. But then at the end, Radharani complained to Krishna that her feet is hurting, she can't walk anymore. So Krishna asked her that, do you want me to take you? But there is a reply in the Bhagavatam that it says that if I ask you to take me, will it not be troublesome for you? In other words, she wants him to take her, but put it in a very nice way. Krishna said, no, that's not a problem, and Krishna bowed himself down. And when Radharani was going to climb on Krishna, Krishna disappeared at that point. And that is how it is. So the system is that you don't write such a thing. This will be against the way of life. So anyway, when this was going to be written, Krishna was Jayadeva Goswami was very seriously thinking the words to use there, because after all you've got to be very careful when you write all these things in putting it in writing. So he was very, very careful in choosing the words. So he wrote something. He thought of writing something. And then he came to his mind, let me not write it now, I'll go and bathe and come back. But Parvati Devi told Jayadeva Goswami that you should go bathe and then come back, I'll have the prasadam ready by then. So Jayadeva Goswami went to bathe in the river. And Padmavati Devi was at home and engaged in her cooking. At that time, an old Brahmana came home and he was looking at him. It was Jayadeva Goswami, everything. He dressed like Jayadeva Goswami. So Padmavati thought that Jayadeva has come back. And Jayadeva came back and told Padmavati, Padmavati, show me that book that I was writing. I have left that word which has come to my mind. I wanted to write it down. Padmavati said to Jayadeva that, what was the urgency now to come back? and write this now. You could have finished by thinking, no. These poets have this problem. If anything comes to their head, they want to. Everything else is not important to them in this world. Everything is secondary for them. So all the Kalidas also was like that. All the great poets are like that. So he wanted to write it straight away. There's also stories about Kalidas in the same way. Bhartahari also, same thing. So he wanted to write it down straight away. So when he was writing that down, the oil what he has applied on his head was dripping it to his eye. So he wanted some cloth. He has left his kamsa there for bathing. So he didn't have anything. And so he told Padmavati, show me your sari, let me wipe this eye. So using Padmavati's sari, this Brahmana has wiped his eyes. And that oil, everything was in her sari. So he wrote it down, Dehi Padapallavam Udaram. That is the words what he was filling it in. And he went back. He went back. So after he went back, after some time, Jayadev comes back, bathing in the river. So when he came back, Jayadev said to Padmavati, after the prasadam, they have a good mood to write something further. Because the way poets write is, they are always meditating on these things, what they want to write. It's not easy to write a poetry like Gita Govindam in just, see, not that one day fine morning I'll start writing Gita Govindam and start writing everything. It's not possible. The way they write is months and months and sometimes years, they think all these pastimes and through their mind they churn it back and forth to get the right word and the right presentation. So much planning goes on in the head. It's not that suddenly it all came out like that. So anyway, when the Brahma came back after the prasadam, he told Padmavati, bring that book for me, let me write it down. Everything. Something has come to me, said. So she brought the book and he saw that it was written there already, what he was already thinking in his mind, whether to write it or not. So he said to Padmavati, Padmavati, who wrote this in the book? He said to her. Padmavati said, what nonsense are you asking me? Who wrote this? You came and wrote it down and now you are asking me who wrote this here. So Jayadev said, I have been thinking what to write there, but it's all written here now. Padmavati said, what? You came here, you wrote it down, and then the argument built up. Argument means they were talking in a very nice way to each other, but they said to Padmavati, Padmavati said to Jayadev that you came here, you wrote it everything and you went back and now you've forgotten everything what you have done. So Jayadev said, Jayadev could not understand. He said, I have never come here. I was bathing in the river and I've just come back. Padmavati said, look at the sari, he said. He showed her sari to her and said, whose is this then? This oil, what is from your head? I wiped it off, I said. She said, Padmavati said, Jayadev said, I didn't wipe anything. I've not even seen this, I said. Padmavati said, then who had come here? Who had come then? So Jayadev could understand who it was. Jayadev, there is in the Gita Govindam, there is that a long obeisances in front of Padmavati. Jayadev paid obeisances to her. Why? Because Jayadev says there, I did not have that fortune of seeing Krishna like the way you did, and paid his obeisances to Padmavati. So who is greater, Padmavati or Jayadev? You can't say that. They are both such exalted personalities that simply by their devotion they captured Krishna. So it is like that. That whole songs in the Gita Govindam, they are so sweet in language, and the essence is so esoteric. In other words, you can say that it is such a transcendental literature. Only it can be relished by personalities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Rupa Goswami or personalities like that. From this, Gita Govindam alone, so many expanded books have come out in the Sanskrit literature. Other poets who have taken themes from this and expanded on that. That is how great, like Srimad Bhagavatam it is, in other words. Like Bhagavatam, people have taken Srimad Bhagavatam and taken different portions of Bhagavatam and expanded that. And many other great literature, Shri Krishna Vilasam, there are so many great, great literature which has come from Bhagavatam. Similarly, from Gita Govindam also, so many great literature have come out later. So Gita Govindam is a very classical literature. In addition to that, among the great devotees, there is also a belief. Now, if you ask me where is the proof, I don't know where it is. But I heard from great souls who talked about it, that this Jayadeva Goswami and Sudharma Brahmana, they are one and the same personality, who appeared again as Jayadeva Goswami. Sudharma Brahmana appeared again as Jayadeva Goswami. There is a Because if you look into the characteristics of both these personalities, you will find one common feature. They loved poverty. Neither of them had any wealth in this world. They had no interest of acquiring any wealth or maintaining any wealth. And their level of consciousness was such that they were simply focused on Krishna, nothing else in this world. And such a pure and transcendental life they had in this world in all their lifetime. They had no other contamination. In other words, they were such liberated souls even in this world, there was nothing that could contaminate their consciousness. That was the Jayadeva Goswami story in the old
I'm a bit confused now as to whom did Parikshit Maharaj hear Srimad Bhagavatam from? Was it directly from?
Parikshit Maharaj heard this from Sri Sukadeva Goswami.
Sukadeva.
Yes. That's right.
Where is
Sutadeva Goswami? Yeah. Sutadeva Goswami, when Parikshit Maharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Sutadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. That's the original Srimad Bhagavatam. That was spoken in the banks of the river Ganges, where Parikshit Maharaj was willing to give up his body. At that time, in that assembly, there were several sages who were present there. There's a list of the sages in the Bhagavatam mentioned. Dhaumyam, Vishwamitra, so many, Bharadwaj, everybody were present there. And in that assembly, Sudha Goswami was also present there. He heard from there, and then he came to Naimisharani, which is another place, where he spoke to the Shaunagarishi and the other sages who were performing a sacrifice there. They were performing the sacrifice there to relieve themselves from the influence of Kali. And that was known as the, in the first chapter you will read, that they performed the sacrifice to relieve the evil effects of Kali. And it is there that they were discussing what should we do about the Kali Yuga. And that discussion was going on. And in that assembly, Sula Goswami walked in. And then they put all these questions to him. So what we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam today is that conversation between Sula Goswami and the and the Shaunik Rishi. That's the conversation we read, what we read here. That's why he says, Yatha Gitam Yatha Mati, that whatever I have learned, whatever I have understood, I will give that to you. And what my limited intelligence, in a very humble way, he presents that to the sages who are present there.
I just wonder, the first verses of Srimad Bhagavatam,
yeah.
Were they spoken by Srila Vyasadeva or Shishuka Devadasa and Vasudeva?
Actually, the first verse particularly is Narada Muni's, is the understanding here. Because why it is said like that, there is a reason behind it. Then, this first verse is a very, very important verse. The first verse, Janmadhe Sedaha. Because it is also the expansion of the one of the aphorisms in the Vedanta Sutra, Janmadhe Sedaha. Now, when through that verse, Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying to this world that what is the definition of the Absolute Truth? One. And in addition to that, he is also presenting there that the conditioned soul has only one road to escape from this. That is, he says there that Janmadhya Sedavanaya Idharadaschateshu Abhijnaswaral Tene Brahma Hrda Ya Adigavaya Muhyandiyal Suraya. That Adigavi and to Brahma, this was instruction was given. So in other words, the way, why is this Janmadhya Seda such an important thing? Because that the everything in this material world, what we perceive today, has come from somewhere. Now here we have to understand a little bit detail, because in Shastra it says Srishti. Srishti means, in English we call it creation. You ask anybody what is creation, they will tell you, oh, we created this building, we created that, we created so many things, they will say. In the Shastra language, that's not creation. Why? Because according to Shastra, creation means creating the material elements, first elements, and also mind, intelligence, ego, and mahatattvam, pradhanam, all that things. This is all called a creation. The other things are called vigara. Vigara means emotions. These are Prakriti's emotions. Why? Because, for example, if you take jewelry from gold, if you create jewelry from gold, the gold, you can change it back into gold again, isn't it? You can go change it back into gold again. Similarly, if you take earth, you can create a pot out of it. And when you break it into pieces again, it will go back into its original form. This is not creation. From the Shastra, this is not called creation. This is not Srishti. This is actually Vigaram. That means the five material elements, you are using them and you are developing so many things on top of it, using them. So that is not considered to be from the Shastra as creation. Creation actually means creating the material elements. So these material elements were created by Krishna. Krishna's arrangement of material elements have come to this world, five material elements. And from these material elements, along with that, so many other things also came that the senses were developed. And in all these things, you will see in the second canto, when the process of creation happens, eventually, with all the presence of everything, it couldn't move. It couldn't work. When did it start working? When Krishna entered into it. It says, Salila Udatishtala. It got up as soon as he got in inside as the Supreme Lord. Only then it came into life. So we became lively, or in other words, we got this life when Krishna got in. Otherwise we have no life. We are just as much birds as any dead matter in this world. There's not much difference between us and them. So one Janmandisya, the verse is saying is that you understand that you, the living entity or the spirit soul and the Supreme Lord, these are the only two realities in this world. Everything else is not a reality. It is all transformation of the dead matter in different forms. So the impersonalists and the personalists, they realize this, or all the great transcendentalists, they realize this concept very strongly in their mind through the analysis of this verse. That's why this verse is such an important verse, that Charteshu Abhijna Swaral Tene Brahma Hruda. Because Brahma also got confused in the time of creation. He himself was confused. And Krishna instructed him in this way to understand that you are different from what you have got there as dead matter. And unfortunately, we lose that identity. We identify with matter to such an extent that sometimes theoretically we understand we are different than the matter. But in consciousness, we don't have that. But if you have somehow or the other managed to reach that stage of realization where you are not affected by matter anymore, then you are in Sukadeva Goswami's position. That's where the difference is. That he was able to situate himself in that condition, that he was not affected by matter any time. And that verse is indicating to that, that Tene Brahma Hruda Ya Adigavaye Muhyandiyal Suraya. Then it says, Tejo Vari Mridam. Everything in this world is Tejas Vari Mridam. The water, fire and earth. If you mix up all these things and create all these things, what we have created in this world, Yatha Vinimayo Yatra Tri Sargo Mrishadham Nasvena Sada Nirastha Hogam Satyam Varam Bhimahi. And this is the nature of Krishna. What is the nature? That when one comes to realize Krishna, as soon as you understand your relationship with Krishna, you are freed from this connection with the matter. But that happens at the stage when one is completely disconnected from the material life or material consciousness. So you become identified with your relationship with Krishna. Impersonalists will say they become one with Krishna. Devotees will say we become as part and parcel of Krishna. Then our relationship with Krishna is known to us. And when that relationship is very strongly working in our consciousness, then we have no more relationship with this matter. And in other words, we are completely free from the clutches of the material consciousness. So that is why that verse is so prominent. And there are all the Bhagavatam commentators who have commented on that verse have taken pages and pages to comment on that. Why? Because there is so much in there, in that definition of Janmandisya. It's a very, very, very... So anybody who reads Srimad Bhagavatam will automatically first study that verse as much as they can. And there is one Vamsidhara Goswami, he wrote a commentary on Bhagavatam, and he has commented on this in 100 different ways, this particular verse. And so you can see that actually Vedavyasa Maharshi, when he said Satyam Param Dhimahi, he had in his mind Krishnam Param Dhimahi. That is what he was pointing at. But he didn't want to say Krishnam Param Dhimahi outrightly, because in this world, everybody has different opinions and ideas. So if you straight away say Krishnam Param Dhimahi, they will say, oh, it is something very sectarian. You know, it's only related to for Krishna's people, not him. But it is not so. Krishna is saying there Satyam Param Dhimahi. This is the absolute truth. But one who reads through Srimad Bhagavatam will notice that actually what Vedavyasa Maharshi had in his mind is actually Krishna Bharam Dhimahi. So that's why that verse is an important verse.
And it was composed for Srimad
Vyasa. Yes, yes, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Narada Muni spoke to
Bhagavad
is spotless. So why is so to Krishna Parama, you say? Yeah. That spotless means, when you say spotless, what actually it means is that Srimad Bhagavatam has no material concepts in there. It's a purely spiritual literature. That it has no material contamination. Like any other Puranas, there is also reference to so many other things, that you perform certain sacrifices for this, benefits, things like that. Mentioned there. But Srimad Bhagavatam takes a person who wants to advance on the spiritual side, gives him, he doesn't have to look into any other book. That's what Srimad Bhagavatam's position is, that Bhagavatam provides everything what one, if you can just study Srimad Bhagavatam alone in your whole life, without reference to any other book, you can take it for granted that you have understood the whole Vedic literature. You don't have to go into anything else. That is the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this has been realized by the great personalities, and therefore they repeatedly say this, that Srimad Bhagavatam has this potency. Now, why Vedavyasa Maharshi said that was that Krishna Satyam Param Dhimahi is only for one reason, that as soon as you start with a name, immediately the people in the world don't want to look at it. Because people have this nature of accepting impersonalism more than personalism. They have this tendency of, if it's something impersonal, I'll have a look at it. They have that nature in them, that's a common thing. Because how many people have heard about Krishna? And it's only the devotees who understand Krishna's position that can appreciate that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But otherwise it's very difficult for people, many people who worship in, born in different conditions, in different places, in different situations, like, just to explain that, in the Vedavya says there in the Bhagavatam, Kirada Honandra Pulinda Pulkasam, Abhira Ganga Yavana Kasadeya, Ye Nyeja Baba Yadubashraya Shaya Shudhyandi, Tasmai Prahavishna Venava. Now why did he say like that? Because it's not that he is trying to talk in an insulting manner about other people. That's not the intention of that verse. That's not what he was trying to say. All he was saying was that those who have born in this world without enough spiritual understanding of life, such personalities also, and these are the people who are possibly grown up in that condition, Kirada, Huna, Santangas, Pulindas, Pulkasas, all the different races mentioned there. Even such people, even such personalities who never had an opportunity to have that spiritual culture in them before, that even them who by chanting whose holy name they can free themselves from their sinful reactions of their life, that I pay my respectful obeisances. That's why Vedavyasa says like that, Shuddhyanti Dasmai Prabhavishnami Nama, that Krishna's holy name has that potency to purify even those who haven't had the opportunity to worship Krishna like that in the past. So, in several instances, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find there that everything Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying to us, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And to surrender to Krishna is the essence of all these things. And that's what he was trying to point out. So, more and more you read Bhagavatam, you'll find that it is actually Krishna Varam Dhimahi. But he didn't explicitly put it like that. He said Satyam Varam Dhimahi.
I don't understand if Shuka left home the moment he was born. When did he get instructions
now? No. Sudeva Goswami's life, we find in few different places. Right. And there is a little bit difference from one to another.
Right.
In the Mahabharata Shanti Bhavam, there is a story of Sudeva Goswami mentioned how he was born.
Right.
Vedavyasa Maharshi wanted to have a son.
Right.
He went to Mahameru mountains and performed severe penances to please Lord Shiva. He performed these penances and Lord Shiva appeared in front of him, asked for what boon he is looking for. He said, I want to have a son who has all the strength of all the material elements. This is what he asked. So Lord Shiva blessed him with that benediction. He gave him that and told him that he will have a son who will be born with all the potency of all the material elements. he came back to his ashram, Vyasa ashram, and there, among the sages, there is they need fire for performing their sacrifices, and that's known as Arani. So in Arani, when he was churning, they rubbing the wood each other, in there he lost his brahmacharin in there, and from the fire came out a personality, and that is Shuka. This is the way it is mentioned in the Mahabharata. And Sukadeva Goswami, when he came out, that Vedavyasa Maharshi did not have an opportunity, but he tried to educate him as a brahmachari, and he, brahmacharis have certain special dresses, Krishna, Jinam, Meghala, Danda, all that, not like today's brahmacharis. Those brahmacharis are different. If you want to understand the olden days brahmachari, it is in the, if you read the thing, it is Vamana Avadaram, yes, Vamana's, you will see there, what is a brahmachari? And yeah, and brahmachari stages also, right. It's so high that you can read from there, the brahmachari. So that there is a brahmachari has to be given bhiksha, yeah. And in this case bhiksha was given by Sri Bhavadi. Sri Bhavadi came with Parameshwar, Lord Shiva, and gave bhiksha to Sudev Goswami. And similarly, the sun god Vaivaswan, he came and gave him the Yajnobhavya, the thread. Like that you will find also who have offered different things to him. And eventually Sukadeva Goswami rejected all these things because he was situated in a degree of realization much beyond Vedavyas was trying to teach him. So Vedavyas taught him actually Patanjali Sashtanga Yoga and Kapila Vasudeva Sankhya Yoga. These two things Vedavyas taught him. And Sukadeva Goswami told Vedavyas, I'm not interested in all these things, he said. I want to have my liberation, he said. And such an early age, he said this to him. And his desire was so intense, it says in the Mahabharata, that Vedavyas could not satisfy him with any answer. So eventually, Vedavyas told Sukadeva Goswami that you should go to Janaka in Mithila and learn from him about the Brahmajnanam or the transcendental realizations, about the realizations. So Sukadeva Goswami's travel from Meru mountains to Mithila is mentioned in the Mahabharata. It looks like this, that he in Meru Parvatam, he has to cross over China, he has to cross over the Europe, so it is somewhere else he has traveled all this distance, and it took 2 years to cross over the Himalayas, and then he walked all the way to Mithila. That is how it is mentioned, the word says there. This Meru mountain exists, and from where he has traveled all these things, this is very difficult to say. But he has taken a lot of time to travel through all this distance to come to Janaka. Then the question comes, can Sukadeva Goswami have to take such a long time? After all, he was a yogi, right. He could have traveled. The reason for that is, a brahmachari, when he is going to look for knowledge to his spiritual master, he should walk. He should not go by. This was the type of people they were. Not the brahmacharis today who flies, catches a British Airways, flies to Vrindavan. And that is today's brahmachari. Anyway, I'm not criticizing today's brahmachari. What I'm saying is the difference. How much we have changed from those days. That their strength was there. Those brahmacharis had such strength in them. Like you see, Shamika's son. Shamikrishi's son, Shringi. What was his strength? If you read the first canto, you will find there. What a brahmachari he was. That is brahmachari. And that type of brahmacharis were. So he had to walk all this distance just because he was going to inquire from Janaka about liberation. So he came to see King Janaka in the palace in Mithila, and he went to see there. the gatekeepers stopped him from entering the palace. They stopped him there. So when they stopped him, he tried to explain to them that I have come to see Janaka and to discuss this point. The gatekeepers could not understand anything what this topic is all about. And they were perplexed themselves. But eventually, through his ability to talk through the people, he managed to get in and go in. King Janaka knew, because he was a Brahmarishi already, a realized soul, living in Mithila, but he was a realized soul. So he said to me, he wanted to test how serious he is in his quest for knowledge. This is as a spiritual master, he wanted to test that. So what he did was, when he walked in, he didn't let him in. He sent a lot of women to look after him nicely. And he had to stay in the gardens for a long time. And the whole night he didn't give him any audience. He won't allow him to see him. So in this park or in the garden where he was, all these girls started serving him, looking after him nicely. Janaka Maharaj was trying to find out whether he was actually a qualified person for receiving such a knowledge, Brahmajnanam. But eventually what happened was, when these women were trying to serve him, he was not interested in that. He was absolutely situated in his topmost realization. In that park he was sitting there. And so it says there that he was performing Swadhyayam, his studies, and he was also performing his different dhyanam and other processes, what he was following then. So he was doing all that, and then Janaka could understand that this is not an ordinary person who has come to see him. So next day in the morning, he was called in. And as soon as he came into the palace, the conversation started. So the conversation, he didn't give Janaka to give much time to inquire anything, any welfare or anything. All he was interested, "I come to discuss with you about liberation," he said to him. So you can see from that, he was not an ordinary person. So Sukadeva Goswami was not an ordinary person. And then the discussion started between Janaka and Sukadeva Goswami. And at the end of the discussion, Janaka had to take instructions from him. It ended up the other way. So he gave him the title as Brahma Rishi. In other words, one who has realized Brahman totally. So Brahma Rishi title was given to him. Therefore, he is called as, also known as Sri Shuka Brahma Rishi, or Brahma Rishi, because of this reason. And then he left that and went back to Vedavyasa. This is how in the Mahabharata it is mentioned. There is a slight difference in the Skanda Puranam and in the other Puranas, that he had appeared as the son of an Apsaras woman called Grithaji. She was born from there. And that there it is also mentioned there that he was not willing to come out of the womb. That he said there, "Unless I get a guarantee from Krishna that I will not be touched by Maya, that I will not come out of the womb." So Vedavyasa had to go to Dwaraka and bring Krishna from there. Krishna came there, and Krishna gave the guarantee from outside to Jabali, that he will not be touched by Maya. Only then three more sannyasis will not touch you. You can come out. And Krishna was forced to give this guarantee before he came out. And that is how they mentioned about Sukadeva Goswami's appearance. So in different places a little bit different. But whatever it is, eventually what we have to realize is that Sukadeva Goswami's Brahman realization platform is so elevated that you can understand that when he became a devotee, naturally he is going to be such a great devotee as well, because of the top realizations what he had in his previous ashram. A brahmachari who had nothing to do with any enjoyment in this material world, that was his greatness.
So when was he really instructed of the Srimad Bhagavatam?
Srimad Bhagavatam was instructed later. That when, after he wrote Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi, he was thinking, whom should I instruct this? And then he found out that the right person, of course, behind all this it is Krishna's hands, right, that's working. That a personality, a son was born for to him like this. Right. And a son which was situated in such a level of realization was given Srimad Bhagavatam. And obviously, by Krishna's arrangement, Vedavyasa Maharshi decided to give. He found that he is the right student to study Srimad Bhagavatam. Then we have to stop there. All glory to Srila
Prabhupada.
Yes, sir. Mukti.
Yes. That's the same question in the Bhagavatam. Why Parikshit Maharaj could have stopped that? Yes. Here we have to think about the boy's father. The boy who cursed Parikshit Maharaj, he has done it. He was a Brahmana boy. And the father was a sage on whose neck he put this dead snake. The father, when he came to his senses, because he was in Samadhi at the time when he put the snake, when he came to his senses, he called his son and told him, "What have you done?" The son was means Shastra it says, Tejasvi. Tejasvi means, with spiritual realization, he was so potent. This boy was so potent. And he has done this, and the father could not believe it, that the son has done such a thing. Especially to curse a king. Now, look at this way. The son is a Brahmana, the father is a Brahmana. Parikshit Maharaj is a Kshatriya. It is Kshatriya's duty to maintain the administration of this planet. That is the duty of a Kshatriya. And in that execution of the duty, Kshatriyas will be infected by the mode of passion. They cannot stay in the mode of goodness all the time. It is not possible. But the father's point of view was, he said to Shamigarashi, he said to son Shringi, that what you have done, actually you have fallen down, not the king. Why? As a Brahmana, you should not have never got angry. This was what he told him. That it is you who has fallen down, not Parikshit Maharaj, he said to him. Because Parikshit Maharaj as a Kshatriya, in his duty, sometimes he can get infected with mood of passion or rajoganam. But you as a Brahmana, with so many years of sadhana behind you and such a high degree of realization, you have fallen. And the boy felt completely upset about it after that. And he asked the father, what can be done now? The words have come out already. And the sage's words were so powerful that once it's spoken, it has to happen. Because so powerful those words. The father could have stopped from doing that. That father could have countercursed, saying that this may not happen to King Parikshit. But father didn't do that. Father didn't do that. Why? Father's thinking is much more deeper. As a very highly realized Brahmana, his thoughts went further than that. In the Bhagavatam it's talking about there, father was thinking, first of all, to find a dead snake's body in an ashram is very, very rare. It can never happen, because normally when the sages build parnashalas, they call it ashrams in the forest, they have certain mantras by which they make sure that no animals can come in and disturb their life there. So they have all this technology with them. So how come a dead snake appeared there? The father was thinking like this. And at the same time, he was also thinking in his mind, why did Parikshit Maharaj come here and do this to me? Because Parikshit Maharaj was not an ordinary person. He was so respected by all the sages. And his culture, he was so cultured that they could never dream in their mind that he will do such a thing. So Parikshit Maharaj was done in something like this. And if my son is cursed like this, there must be some other reason behind it. I am not going to inquire further than that, he said. Let me leave it to the time, however shape it was going to take. So in fact, we have to understand that behind all these things what happened, it was Krishna's hands that was working. That Krishna wanted these things to happen, and eventually through Parikshit, Parikshit getting bitten by the snake and dying was not the important thing. Important thing was Krishna wanted to give Srimad Bhagavatam to this world and teach this world. Look, here is how a great emperor of this planet left this world, and this is how he prepared himself for the death. So there were much higher thoughts behind him, that when Parikshit Maharaj took to Srimad Bhagavatam and he never thought about it. In fact, when his horoscope was looked by the astrologers, when he was born, Parikshit Maharaj was born, his horoscope was scrutinized by the astrologers. And astrologers told Yudhishthira Maharaj all the different qualities of Parikshit Maharaj, and then said to him that this person will die bitten by a snake. That was also forecast already at the time of birth itself. When the horoscope was written and read out to Yudhishthira Maharaj knew that he was going to die by bitten by a snake. Did Yudhishthira Maharaj take protective measures? No, he didn't do that either. Why? Because Yudhishthira Maharaj thought himself that all the qualities for a king are there, and he's going to be a devotee like Prahlada. Prahlada was bitten by a serpent. What happened? Nothing has happened. So if that is the same thing going to happen to Parikshit, I'm not bothered. This is his approach was. So you can see from there that all these plans were destined before to happen, but they were not concerned about snake biting. That was not the main issue for them. The important thing was Parikshit Maharaj knew that the time has come to go, and he has got the right opportunity. Because if you get a notice in advance that you are going to die in a few days' time, it's good in one way, because then you can prepare yourself. But what happens to most of us is, we go on running around in this world in circles, and one day we collapse and die and go. And that's not a good situation. It's better than that if the Parikshit Maharaj got that advance warning. So it is not that they could have prevented this, but they did not do it, because that is, they have left that to Krishna's will.
It says that Parikshit Maharaj has the power to counteract the curse.
Yes.
Like you said, he didn't do it.
He didn't do it, yes.
If he knew that he was not going to counteract the curse,
yes,
he would have gone home, died on his kingdom, life very peacefully, and there was Sukadeva Goswami, there was no need for him to come in the forest.
Yes.
And there was no Bhagavatam, and we wouldn't be sitting here hearing the Bhagavatam.
That's right, yes.
So similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he was already pure devotee.
That's right.
There was no need for him to come to the West.
Yes.
And he came to the West to purify himself.
No, more than that, it was his compassion for the people. Yes.
So, Maharaj Parikit also, he accepted the curse for the benefit of everyone, that this
yes.
way, you know, he could
yes.
allow the Srimad Bhagavatam to
yes.
be spoken by Sukadeva Swami.
Yes.
But like you said, it was all Krishna's arrangement.
Yes.
All the pastimes in the Bhagavatam, they are
yes.
all actors.
Yes.
He said they're all associates of
yes.
the Lord Krishna.
Yes, that's right.
And everyone is just moving as a puppet by the will of Krishna
yes.
to show us, you know, what to do and what to not be done.
Mm.
So this is actually the old purpose behind every pastimes of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Okay.
Just like Virani Kashyapu and his brother. They can talk up the suits as demons. Some devotees take up the suits as the demons, some as the goddess, but they're all associates of the Lord. That's right. And nobody's wrong and nobody's right in these pastimes. Even the Brahman Rishi, Shringi, he was a Brahman, he was also manipulated by the Lord. His father,
Maharaj Parikit,
they're all associates of the Lord.
That's right.
Yeah. Sure. I just wonder what qualified Srinivasa and Vishnara as a more elevated listener than Shona Krishna.
What qualified?
Yeah, he more elevated.
Yes. Yeah. There is a reference to Shona Krishna like this, that the sacrifice they were performing in the Namisharanyam means sacrifice is generally meant for Karmakanda. It has a relationship with Karmakanda. Karmakanda means those where you have desire for results that you perform sacrifices. That is, that was a little bit involved in that sacrifice. And Shaunik Rishi's background, if you read, you will see he was a person who has performed many, many sacrifices in the past. Now, Vedavyasa Maharshi is compiling Srimad Bhagavatam is not coming, has no influence of Karmakanda. It is purely on a spiritual platform that he felt compassion for the people of Kali, and he wanted to compile, he was still trying to analyze why. Why is that I am not finding peace within myself? And it was then that Sri Narada Muni gave and instructed him to write Srimad Bhagavatam. If you read the first canto, fifth chapter, you will find there the reasons why Sri Narada Muni, what was the arguments Narada Muni put forward to Vedavyas to write Srimad Bhagavatam. There is a number of things mentioned there. And from there you can see that the cause of distress of Vedavyas, the way Sri Narada Muni made him understand by giving his own example, that this is what has happened to me, because he says I am the best example for everything, and he talks about himself there. Normally sages don't talk about themselves, they talk about others. It is a rare occasion they will talk about themselves, and this one instance when Narada Muni quotes his own life as an example of a devotee, and he says this to Vedavyas. So from there you can see that Vedavyasa and Narada Muni's realizations are different than Shaunika Rishi's and Sudha Goswami's realizations. So therefore, but because they had little bit more higher thinking than like Sudha Goswami's and Shaunika Rishi's, they were able to think a little bit higher level and find a solution to it. And both being Narada Muni and Vedavyasa Maharshi were such sages, great personalities, that they were able to see through that Karmakandam and Jnanakandam is not the ultimate answer to the people, for the people of age of Kali. They were able to find this out. Karmakandam and Jnanakandam doesn't work here in this age. Rather, Bhakti Yoga will be the best process. And therefore, they were able to sense that and compile Srimad Bhagavatam. So it was a different realizations they had, you can see from that. Then you have to stop. All Lord Srila Prabhupada.
वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimal Bhagavadakhyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi Svigradosi Mayanatha Muktyartam Bhavasagarem Manorathe Madhiyoyam Sabala Sarvadhatvaya Nurvigdhi Neiva Gartavyam Dasoham Tavakeshavam Bhave Bhave Yadha Bhakti Padayostava Jayade Tadakurushva Devesha Nathastvanno Yadaprabhom Nama Samgirtanam Yasya Sarvabhava Pranashanam Pranamo Dukha Shamanam Tam Namami Harim Param Janmadhyasya Yadonvayaditaradas Charteshu Abhityaswaran Tene Brahmahuda Ya Adigavaye Mukhyandiyal Surayam Tejo Varimrudam Yatha Vinimayo Yatra Trisargo Mrishadhamna Svena Sada Nirasta Guhadam Satyam Param Dhimahi Dharma Projida Gaida Votra Maramo Narmal Saranam Satam Vedyam Vastava Matra Vastu Shivadam Tabatrayon Mulanam Srimal Bhagavade Mahamunikrade Kimvapare Ishwarya Sadyo Hridhyavarudhya Netra Kadivishishroshubhi Takshanal Nigamagalpadarorgalidam Bhalam Shukamukhadam Rudadravasam Yudam Pibada Bhagavadam Rasamalayam Muhurahurasika Bhuvi Bhavuka Sachinanandarubayam Vishyolpatyadi Hedave Tabatraya Vinashaya Shri Krishnaya Vayam Namam Yam Pravrajandam Anubedam Abeda Krityam Dvaivayano Virahakataram Ajuhava Putredi Danmayadayat Taravobhinedu Tam Sarvabhuda Hridayam Munim Anadosmi Yaswanubhavam Akhila Shudisaryamegam Adhyatma Deepam Aditi Dirshadam Tamondham Samsarinam Karunayaha Kurana Guhyam Tam Vyasasunam Upayami Gurum Muninam Nama Om Vishnupadayam Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimadi Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajarini Nurvishesha Shunyavani Pashatya Deshadarini Srimal Guru Charanaravindabhyam Nama Vande Nanda Vrajastrinam Padarenum Abhishnasha Yasam Harigadodgidam Punadi Bhuvanatrayam Shri Gopi Charanaravinda Paramaname Nama Pidambaram Karavirajita Chakra Shankha Kaumodari Sarasijam Karunam Samudram Radha Sahayam Adisundaram Andahasam Vahalesha Manisham Pratibhavayami So, last Sunday we were discussing how Sudha Goswami arrived in Nainisharanyam and the discussions between Sudha Goswami and the sages who assembled there, Shaunak Rishi and others, who asked a number of questions to them. And mainly there were six questions which were covered in the first chapter, beginning with what should one do in the age of Kali, and secondly, why did Krishna appear in the family of Vasudeva and Devaki as their son? What was the pastimes Krishna has performed before his appearance as a Supreme Lord in this world? And what type of, what performances, what pastimes they performed together, Krishna performed together with Balaram? And eventually the question was asked that after Krishna has gone back to the spiritual world, what has happened to the religious principles in this world? So all these questions were asked, and when these questions were asked, Sudha Goswami naturally has prepared to answer many other things, because when he arrived on the scene in Nainisharanyam, what you have to remember that he has come from under the instruction from Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami has asked Sudha Goswami or Sudha Paurani to go there to Nainisharanyam and to speak Srimad Bhagavatam there. It was on that instruction that he has come there. So when he arrived there, the sages who were present there, they had a number of questions to ask. And before Sudha Goswami started replying those questions, he began actually glorifying his own spiritual master, which is Sukadeva Goswami. Because from Sukadeva Goswami he heard Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is on the instruction of Sukadeva Goswami that Sudha Goswami has come to Naimisharanyam to speak from Srimad Bhagavatam. So before he began speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, he actually started glorifying Sukadeva Goswami. And there are a few things we have to remember when this glorification started. Because actually Sukadeva Goswami did not have any samskar after his birth. He left home immediately after he took instructions, and then he left home. He didn't stay home. He went away from there. And Vedavyasa Maharshi, his father, went after him looking for him. Putra, 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 he was calling him to come back. And who replied? He didn't reply. But on the other hand, all the creepers and the trees and the plants, everything has replied. They kept asking in reply to the question, the call from Vedavyasa Maharshi. From this incident, Sudha Goswami knew certain things. What was that? The first thing he understood was that Sukadeva Goswami's degree of realization. Because on the purely situated on the Brahman realization, that absolute, he was completely situated on that realization. That is why, although in one body as Sukadeva Goswami, he was able to identify himself with the Supreme Lord on that part of it. That his identification with the Supreme Lord was complete from that point of view. That is why he was able to perceive everything. Others were able to reply on his behalf to Vedavyasa Maharshi when he called his son to come back. That's what we find here. Yam pravrajandam anupedam apedakrityam dvaipayanu virahatataram ajuhavam. That when he called him back, apedakrityam, he has not performed any of the purificatory ceremonies, what's normally done for the saintly people, for the Trivarnikas or the Brahman, Kshatriya and Vaishyas. So none of the purificatory ceremonies were performed for in the case of Sukadeva Goswami. But he walked away. But yam pravrajandam anuvedam apedakrityam dvaipayano virahakataram ajuhavam. So naturally when he replied like this, when the trees and the plants and creepers replied to Vedavyasa Maharshi, Sudha Goswami was heard about this, and he was aware that his realization is such a higher degree that he could see, he could be present in all the other living entities. That is what happens when one has come to that degree of realization. Even on the impersonal side, he can perceive through all the other living entities. This is some of the powers that comes along with that realization. Anyway, that was only one thing, but that was known to the whole world. Everybody knew about this. All the sages knew this is the position of Sukadeva Goswami. When he left the home, this was his degree of realization already in such an elevated stage. That was Sudeva Goswami's position. Yam pravrajandam anupedam apedakrityam dvaipayano virahaka taramajuhavam putreditan maidaya tarabobhinedu tam sarvabhuda hrayam munim anadosmin. That he is present in all the other living entities. Sarvabhuda hrayam. That he is present in all the other living entities. So that was his realization. But in addition to that, the scholars and the great devotees, great people, their conclusions is something higher than that. What's that? That when Sudha Goswami was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the assembly of all the sages who were present there when Sudeva Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, there were a number of people who were present there. And in one corner, Sudha Goswami was also listening to him, everything. So after Parikshit Maharaj went back to the spiritual world, before Sudeva Goswami left the scene, most of the people who were present there, they asked a question to Sudeva Goswami. The question was that, where do we go after this to hear Srimad Bhagavatam? This was the question they put forward to Sukadeva Goswami. And in reply to that, Sukadeva Goswami told them that, look at this Suta who is sitting there. He has heard Srimad Bhagavatam. He will go to Naimisharanyam and he will speak Srimad Bhagavatam there. Those who want to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam can go there. This is what Sukadeva Goswami said in the assembly. So when he said this, Sudha Goswami took it that this is a personal instruction for him to go there, and that is why he had come here. But what is more interesting than all that thing is that when he arrived in Naimisharanyam, all the sages who were present there, they welcomed him. And that welcoming side of it is the most beautiful thing. Why? Because generally if Sudha Goswami walked in and all the sages who were sitting there, thousands of people who are performing this Dhamma Sutram, if they have received Sudha Goswami like that, you didn't know who you are, where have you come from? So he says, Sudha Goswami says, I am Sudeva Goswami's disciple. Oh, I have come to tell you, I have come to recite Srimad Bhagavatam here because he has instructed me to come here and to instruct Srimad Bhagavatam to you. Now, if he says like that, and the sages who are present there, Shavanakrishi and others, says to him, okay, that's very nice you have come. We will start in a couple of days' time the program. If he says like that, it looks a little bit odd because it doesn't have that attraction, unlike the way they have welcomed him. Actually, the way they welcomed him was, you are Sudha Goswami, aren't you? How long have we been waiting for you to come? That's the way they welcomed him. So from that when they welcomed him in this way, that, oh, we were waiting for your arrival, and when can we start Srimad Bhagavatam? We were so anxious about it, because this Sudha Goswami's father, who recited Srimad, other Puranas for the sake of the sages there, Lord Balaram came there and gave him a forced liberation. Forced liberation means he was killed by Balaram. So Balaram sent him back to the spiritual world. And you know perhaps why Balaram did that? Because Balaram felt that he did not have enough humility, nor he is not qualified to speak about Krishna, or not the devotion. So this was Lord Balaram's conclusion, that this Sudha's father, who was present there, neither has the humility, nor has the devotion to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why Lord Balaram is a very straightforward person. He doesn't show any messing around. Either you accept what he says or you go, that's it. So Balaram's approach was that he should not recite Krishna's glories. This was Balaram's decision. Balaram took that decision and sent him back to the spiritual world. So when he went back to the spiritual world, what happened was, all the sages who were present there, they were very, very upset, because now they have nobody to talk about the Puranas, what Vedavyasa Maharshi has compiled, or Mahabharata. So they told Balaram that what you have done was a little bit high-handed. You've gone beyond the limit. After all, they were saintly people, and they could say that to Lord Balaram. Balaram said to them, not to worry, this this person whom I have killed, Ugrashravasa, I think was his name, his son will come and he will speak to you Srimad Bhagavatam. So Balaram has given them this blessing. So that's why we have to be a little bit careful if we have to talk Srimad Bhagavatam in front of Lord Balaram. As far as Balaram is concerned, nobody has any devotion, nobody has any understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are more careful while talking about Krishna in front of Lord Balaram. But Krishna is not like that. Krishna is a little different. Krishna is a little bit more kind. He says that let them read something, let them talk about me. One day everything will come out okay at the end. This is Krishna's approach. But Balaram is not willing to tolerate any nonsense. So he makes sure that those who talk about Srimad Bhagavatam in front of Balaram have to be a little bit more careful from this experience of Ugrashrava's, Sudha's father. So this incident has happened prior to this. And when Sudha arrived there, all the sages who were present there, they welcomed him so nicely. The welcoming address was so good that yasya anubhavam akhila shudisaramegam adhyatma divam aditi dirshadam tamondham samsarinam karunayah puranaguhyam tam vyasasunam ubayami gurum muninam. That this Sudha Goswami, who was welcomed there, that who got the instruction from Srimad Bhagavatam from Sudeva Goswami, has actually come to give us this nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. And how long have we been waiting for you to come? When can we begin this? We have waited so anxiously for your arrival. So when you welcome like this somebody, that welcoming has got some more nectar in that, or it is a little bit more interesting for the person who has come. So like that, in that situation, but at that point, Sudha Goswami realized that for these people to think like that and to welcome me like that, naturally Sukadeva Goswami is within their heart as well. Not only in the hearts of the creepers and the trees and the plants. That is why that word Vedavyasa Maharshi has chosen so carefully. Tam sarvabhuda hridayam munim anadosmi. That sarvabhuda hridayam, in every living entity's heart, Sukadeva Goswami was present there. And he was, it is only him who prompted these sages to speak like this and to welcome me like that. He must have thought in this way, and that is what the great scholars say about Sukadeva Goswami, that his arrival there was such organized way that within the heart, Sukadeva Goswami, sitting within the heart of all the great sages who were present in the Naimisharanyam, welcomed him like that. So that with that welcome, Sukadeva Goswami came to Naimisharanyam, and the first thing what happened was the first question what he has put forward, that what was that? Kalimaladaranobaya Saraswarupam. How do we get out of this Kali Yuga? How do we get over the age of Kali? Because this Kali's nature has been discussed in the Dwapara Yuga so much between the sages. And they knew what was going to come in this age. They were very much aware of that. And when that discussion, they were saying, Kali Maladaranobaya Saraswarupam Paprachu, that they asked this question, Dikshidartham, that the sages who were performing Diksha in the Brahma Sutram, they were saying, Dikshidartham Bhamana Puravade Shri Parikshil Satirthyam, that along with Parikshit Maharaj, who sat down with Parikshit Maharaj at Satirthyam, as though it is his classmate, and they were together, they sat together and heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami. Kalimaladaranobaya Saraswarupam Paprachu Dikshidartham Pavana Purapade Sri Parikshil Satirthyam. That along with Parikshit Maharaj, this devotee Sukadeva Goswami heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami. Let us hear from him what we should do in the age of Kali. So this was the first question they put forward to Sukadeva Goswami. In reply to that, Sukadeva Goswami begins, but is there so much problem in the Kali Yuga? That question automatically comes there, isn't it? That why is Kali Yuga such a special Yuga compared to all other Yugas? Actually, in the Dwapara Yuga itself, Vedavyasa Maharshi and all the other sages, they have foreseen that this is what is in store. This is what's going to happen. And it is not difficult to understand why Kali Yuga is so special. That also we have to think about it. Because even if you look back, say about 40 or 50 years ago, and you don't have to go very far, that if you ask the old people in the world today, very old, say 75, 80 years old, if you ask these questions to them, they will tell you, in our childhood, it was not like this. Everything has changed a lot these days. They will automatically reply like this. You can ask the old people. They will say that nowadays people do not cooperate each other. People have no respect to the elders, no respect to the children, no respect to women, and no respect to anybody, in fact. And apart from that, that people also have such desires, unlimited desires in their mind, killing them all the time. And why has this happened? This is, and not only if you ask other things also, you can see that that some of the old people are really upset with the way modern society is moving. The society today has more or less become so restless and distressed in many ways that the divorce rate has increased so much. People are finding it difficult to live together. People are finding it difficult to cooperate together. So many issues, problems have come in the society. And these small changes, the changes have only happened in the last 40 or 50 years, what we can see from the society, social situation today. So, when such things were happening, that there is a, these things were actually expected to happen, and these were already there in the mind of the sages when they were realizing that the age of Kali had come. So what did they do? Is it not that they could have done something about it? Could they not have done something whereby they could have protected the people from the age of Kali? It's not that they did not do anything. They have done a lot of things. They have prepared. Srimad Bhagavatam is one Purana. And apart from that, they have written a lot of books. What they have divided the Vedas, Puranas, Upanishads and everything, where a lot of spiritual knowledge is packed, apart from Ramayana and Mahabharata, to tell us that Kali Yuga is going to be like this and we should take precautions to escape from that. So the sages have done their part of the job. But if you ask somebody that, you know, that why is there any way we can escape from this age of Kali, this disturbed condition, they will say like this, most of the people, they say we are so busy that we have no time even to read any of those books. It's not that we don't want it, we want to read it. But we just don't have the time to do it. This is the answer you will get in most of the people's case. Now, if you think about this, that people in those days, they had 24 hours. People today also have 24 hours. The time hasn't changed. What has changed actually is the mind. The mind has changed. Because that is how Kali works in this life. Kali Yuga is such a thing, it affects the mind of a person. Now, the way it affects is that he will find he will not have time for anything related to spiritual life, but he will be totally engrossed in the maintenance of his body. And that is, and not only that, in addition to that, there are so many things mentioned there that if you look at the lifestyle of a person, say 40 years ago or today, you will see the difference also. That we have increased the number of goods, what we need in our life. That instead of having a simple and peaceful sattvic way of life, it is more predominated by more desires and possessiveness of the material goods. And that is, in other words, it is the rajasic and tamasic way of life that is going through our mind today. And this is the reason why, in spite of all preaching or whatever you do, at the end of the day, this rajasam and tamasa buddhi, what we call it as the rajasic intelligence or tamasic intelligence, that is demanding more and more material goods for our maintenance in this world. And as much as these desires are increasing, accordingly, we are increased our needs so much that all these goods are meant for increasing our bodily comfort. There's nothing else what comes out of it. In other words, we are becoming capable of performing any austerities or penances in this life. With the result is that our mind, which is totally engrossed in the mood of passion and ignorance, is unable to understand the message what the sages has given through Sri Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is what it is coming to. That Kalimala Taranobaya Saraswarupam. That how to get over this age of Kali. We have tried very, very hard. Paprachudi Chidartam Bhavana Purapati Shri Parishil Satirtyam. That along with Parishit Maharaj, Sudha Goswami sat there, and from beginning to end, Sudeva Goswami is warning Sudha Goswami, this is how, mentioning to Parishit Maharaj, Kali Yuga is going to be like this. And that is a long description. In throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find it different places. So anyway, this is how it has happened. So it is not that the sages did not do anything. So what should we do? Then that is why in this second chapter, when we begin the first canto, you will find there is a lot of instructions of a person who is caught up in the Kali Yuga consciousness, how we can escape from there. Munaya sadhu prashtoham bhavadviraloga mangalam yatkrida krishna sambrashno yenatma suprasidadim savaipum samparo dharmam yatho bhakti rathokshaje ahaidugiya pradihada yenatma suprasidadim dharmasvanushtidapumsam vishvaksena kathasuyal nolpadayedyadiridim shramaye vahikevalam dharmasya hyabavargasya arthortayobagalpade arthasya dharmaigandasya kamulabhaya hispradam kamasya indriya pridir labho jivedayavada jivasya tattvajnyasa atmoyascheha karmabhi vadandi tattvavidam tattvametjnanamadvayam brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavan nishabhyadeyam Tachatanamurusha Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya Pashyandhyatmani Jatmanam Matyashvada Grihidayam Adapum Virduja Shrestha Varnashrama Vibhagasha Sunushtidasya Dharmasya Samsiddhar Haridoshanam Tasmadegena Bhagavan Bhagavan Sattvadambadi Shodavya Kirtidavyascha Jaya Bhujascha Nityadam. So all the different things were mentioned, and at the end Tasmadegena Manasa Bhagavan Sattvadambadi Shodavya Kirtidavyascha Jaya Bhujascha Nityadam. In other words, that ultimately it's glorified the necessity of performing Krishna consciousness or engaging in Krishna consciousness, and that is the only process recommended for the age of Kali. There is no other process which will work also. Tasma adegena manasa. Therefore, it says there, tasma adegena manasa, with fully focused mind. Tasma adegena manasa, Bhagavan sattvadambadi. Sattvadambadi, one should worship. Who is sattvadambadi? Sattvadambadi is Krishna. that not anybody else, no other deities are to be worshipped in this age of Kali. Boy, if one wants to get out of this influence of the age of Kali, tasma adegena manasa bhagavan satvadambari, satvadambari Krishna, bhagavan satvadambari, and how should we worship him? Shrodavya kirtidam vyascha jayabhu ujascha nityadam. He should talk about him, he should hear about him, he should glorify him, and he should remember him, or Dhyayabhujyasya, you should meditate on him, or Dhyanam. Dhyayabhujyasya nitya, this is, so if somebody has to hear about Krishna, somebody has to talk about Krishna. So that is the process. Shraudavya kirtidavyasya, Dhyayabhujyasya nityadam, Shunnadam sakada Krishna, Punyashravana girtanam, Kadyandastohya badrani, Vidunodhi surasram, Nashta prayeshu badreshu, Nityam bhagavada sevaya, Bhagavadi uttama shroge, Bhakter bhavadi naishtini. If you do that, what will happen? Yada rajastamo bhavam, Kamalobhadayaschai, Chedam edayana vidam stidam, Sattve prasidadi, Evam prasanna manaso, Bhagaval bhakti yogada, Bhagaval tattva vijnanam, Mukta sangasya jayade, Vidyade hudaya grandi, Chidyande sarvasamshaya, Shriyande jase karmani, Drishtuva evatmanishwari, Athayo kavayo nityam, Bhaktim paramayamuda, Vasudeve bhagavadi, Kurvan alpa prasadanim. So it goes on saying that in the simply hearing about Krishna, simply glorifying Krishna, and simply all the time remembering Krishna, that is the only way if one wants to get free from the infection of Kali. So that is the instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this second chapter itself, when the question was raised by the sages of Naimisharanyam to Suda Goswami, that what one should do to escape from the influence of the age of Kali, this is how he replied to them, that simply they... Tasmadegena manasa bhagavan satvadambadi shrodavya kirtidavyascha jayabhujyascha nityadam. That this is the answer to that. You will find this verse again and again repeated in the second canto also. Later on Sudeva Goswami says that. Tasmal sarvatmana rajan, he says to Parishit Maharaj. Again the same thing he repeats there. Tasmal sarvatmana rajan hari sarvatra sarvada. All the time to worship the Lord Krishna. Nobody else, only Krishna. That is what is another interesting side of it. So, if we have to hear about Krishna like that all the time, then what do we need? We need, that is precisely the reason why Krishna has appeared in the different incarnations. We require so many different incarnations, because only when we have these incarnations, we can hear about Krishna. Otherwise, it's not possible to hear about Krishna. So, when this was spoken, that when this question was raised by the sages present there, Suda Goswami continued telling them that if we have to hear about Krishna, somebody has to talk about Krishna. And if we have to talk about Krishna, we need to have all these different incarnations. And that is why Krishna has taken all these different incarnations at different times. And because all these different incarnations is Krishna's appearance, and therefore he said, Janmatho karma nama sputamiha gunadoshadigamma nayasmin loganam udayayam. That just for the pleasure of the world, just for the devotees to glorify him, Krishna has come into this world at different times in different forms. Janmatho karma nama sputamiha gunadoshadigamma nayasmin loganam udayayam soyamanubhajadevani mayanusarim. That along with the assistance of Mayabhagavani, Krishna has accepted different forms at different times, although he has no appearance. He has janmadho karma nama. He has no activities to perform actually. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is totally satisfied within himself. And by his own will, everything happens without his own effort. But it automatically happens for him. Janmadho karma nama sputaniha gunadoshadiyam va nayasmin loganam udayeya swayamanu bhajadevani mayanusari bibrat shaktira rupo bija bahudara rupo vabhati albhudalpa tasmai kaivalya dhamne pararasa paripurnaya vishno namaste. That addressing Krishna, that this is how Krishna has appeared in this planet for the sake of pastime, so that devotees could glorify Krishna. So this is for this reason Krishna has appeared, and Krishna has appeared and performed many pastimes in many and in his incarnation. Therefore all these incarnations have happened. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will find that in the second chapter, while finishing, there is this reference to these different incarnations. That is, in the third chapter it talks about all the different incarnations. 24 major incarnations are mentioned there in that. Now, it was by chance, one king asked Krishna, He came to this world, his name was Muchukunda. Muchukunda was in the heavenly planet. And after fighting there, assisting Kartikeya, Kartikeya was the Subramanyam, he is the commander-in-chief of the demigod's army. And he went there to assist Kartikeya in their war against the demons. And after some time, when he decided to come back, they won the war and eventually eventually Muchukunda was coming back. He wanted to come back to this world. And they asked the demigods for a boon. So they asked him, he asked them that how much lifetime I have, what type of duration of life I have. They said, we can't tell you that, but we can tell you one thing. We can give you some other boon if you like. So he said, alright, the only thing I require is I need some rest now. I'm fully tired after this long war here. So when I go back to this earthly planet, I need to rest. So give me the blessing that I could sleep comfortably without any hindrance from anybody. And the demigods gave that blessing to him and he came here. From this you can understand one or two things in the Bhagavatam. It's mentioned there that the this business of eyes closing, it's not there among the demigods. They don't have that. This is only for us or the human society who have to do this. Keep closing the eyes all the time or to rest in this world. So that is not in their way of life. So anyway, demigods blessed him and came down. He came down. Muchukunda came to this world and Muchukunda was actually sleeping in a cave where he was having a very, very good prolonged sleep, freeing from all the tiredness or fatigue he had acquired in the heavenly planets. So according to Krishna's plan, it all happened. Kalayavana came there and Kalayavana was killed by Muchukunda in that cave and he became into ashes. So at that time, when he woke up, he saw Krishna standing there and he asked Krishna, who are you? And Krishna said that my son of Vasudeva and Devaki, I am Krishna, he said. So Muchukunda says that seeing you, I know that you are not an ordinary personality, I can see from you. Because he was a devotee, Muchukunda. And Krishna said, yes, I am not an ordinary person. I have come many times before in this world. So Muchukunda asked Krishna, so you are an incarnation, aren't you? So how many incarnations have happened when I was sleeping? This was the question he asked. Just like if you are listening to Bhagavatam and suddenly you've gone to sleep. After about 15-20 minutes you woke up from your sleep. So you ask the devotee sitting next to you, now which chapter are we talking about? So a bit like that it was. That story is like that. That he mentioned, this king Muchukunda asked Krishna. Krishna said to him, the reply is, only those who read Srimad Bhagavatam regularly can enjoy that joke there. Krishna's joke there. Krishna says, Kalatrayavavannani janmakarmani medrava anuchandamaval kyoyam yachandivaramarshayam. That Krishna says, Kalatrayavam. Kalatrayam means past, present and future. That's called Kalatrayam. So this Kalatrayavavannani janmakarmani medrava. Krishna says, I don't know how many times I have incarnated myself. Krishna himself doesn't know that, he says. Anukramandi gachoyam, anukramandi mayvajyam, gachandi paramarshavam. That all I know is that this time I have come as Vasudeva Devaki's son. That's all I know. My name is Krishna, he said. This is how Krishna introduced himself to Muchukunda. So, why Krishna didn't know? Because this question was asked to Narayana Rishi. Narayana Rishi means it's Krishna himself. So Narayana Rishi, they asked this question. Narayana Rishi said, the number of incarnations are unlimited. So it is not possible to mention all the incarnations in the first conversation itself. It was not possible for Sudha Goswami. So what did Sudha Goswami do? Sudha Goswami picked 24 major incarnations and put it in the third chapter of the first canto. But along with that, he also mentioned Krishna's name in that. Krishna also has an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, of the Absolute Truth. He put it like that. Because earlier it was said, Vadandida Tattvavidam Tattvametnanam Advayam Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavanadi Shabdhyadeyam. That in these three, the Absolute Truth is referred to by the Transcendentalists in these three different forms, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So, so to support that statement, he wanted to say that truth has manifested a different time. So he included Krishna also in that. But immediately he said, he wanted to make it very, very clear. At that very point itself he said, Edeja Amshakala Pumsam Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. that Krishna is not, don't include, categorize Krishna into all the other incarnations. They are all incarnations like Amshavadaram, Kalavadaram, Gunavadaram. There are so many different types of incarnations mentioned. But don't include Krishna's name into that. Why? Krishna astu Bhagavan Swayam, Edeja Amshakala Pumsam, Krishna astu Bhagavan Swayam. That Krishna, don't think that Krishna is not an ordinary, another incarnation like anybody else. He wanted to make it very, very clear itself. Then having said that, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Indra Arivyagulam Yoge Mudayandi Yuge Yuge, that he mentioned it like this. But then the question comes that so far till that point in the society, particularly among the Vedic scholars and all that, the impression was generally that there were 10 major incarnations, they were saying. Malsya Gurma Varahascha, Narasimhascha Vamana, Ramo Ramascha Ramascha, Krishna Kalki Janardana. This was the understanding prior to this. So somehow or the other, the Acharya who compiled this verse, he has included Krishna also into that. Malsya Gurma Varahascha, they were all fine. Narasimhascha Vamana, Ramo Ramascha Ramascha, Parashuram Sri Ram and Balaram, Krishna Kalki Janardana. That this is how the incarnations are. This was the verse and everybody kept reciting this verse. But people who have a higher understanding, they have come out later, because Buddha, many people, many acharyas were not willing to include Buddha's name into those incarnations. That is how it happened. That Buddha also, he is Krishna's incarnation, but Buddha's incarnation has not happened at that time when Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. Because that means Buddha appeared 2500 years after Krishna's present in the planet, Krishna left this world. And now we have 2500 years after Buddha's disappearance from this world. So in other words, 5000 years ago, when the Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled, Buddha's appearance was although predicted. Buddho namna janasudha kigadeshu bhavishyari. In Kigadam, Buddha will appear like that. Kigadeshu bhavishyari. It says there. Kigada in place, in that province, Buddha will appear. It was mentioned like that. So that time, the acharyas were not willing to include Buddha's appearance because they didn't have the knowledge of Buddha at that time, although it was mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So most of the people took it as Krishna as another incarnation. But then who has corrected the situation? There were many, many acharyas who have confirmed that Buddha is Krishna's incarnation. And that is why Jayadeva Goswami in the Gita Govindam, when he wrote Gita Govindam, he mentioned there very emphatically and very, very precisely, he said, Vedanudharade Jagandivahade Bhugolamudbhiprade Daityam Darayade Balim Chalayade Kshatrakshayam Kurvade Paulastyam Jayade Halim Kalayade Karunyamadanyade Lechan Murchayade Dashakritikrade Krishnaya Tubhyam Namam Dashakritikrade Krishnaya Tubhyam Namam. That all these different incarnations, 10 incarnations have come from Krishna. So it was Jayadeva Goswami who very strongly mentioned this, and acharyas since then have accepted that. That is why Gita Govindam, one of the classical literature in the Vaishnava tradition, has very strongly accepted Gita Govindam, as Ajani Mahaprabhu also took Gita Govindam very seriously. But because of the transcendental pastimes when Krishna, Radharani and the gopis are so higher level, then ordinary people will find it difficult to understand Gita Govindam, and it is only meant for the elevated souls like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Goswamis, Surup Damodar and personalities like that. So anyway, the invocation in that prayer is that Krishna has appeared in different incarnations at different times, and Buddha is also included in that as one of the incarnations. So that makes that 10 incarnations complete, the Shavadaram as it's called, the 10 incarnations, and Krishna is not an avatar actually, he is the person from whom all the incarnations have appeared. So because we have all these incarnations mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that in the third chapter, Sudha Goswami said to the sages who are present there, that it is this incarnation Srimad Bhagavatam is compiled of. All these incarnations are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and therefore one should read and study Srimad Bhagavatam. And by hearing and continuously reading Srimad Bhagavatam, one can enjoy the glories of Krishna. And this is how Sudha Goswami finished the answer to this first question of the age of Kali. And when he answered that, Sukadeva, the sages, Shaunya Rishi and others who were present there, they wanted to hear more about Krishna's pastimes. But prior to conclusion, prior to beginning that, he had to answer so many other things. And naturally, maybe it is for our own benefit. We were mentioning the other day that Sudha Goswami was asked certain questions, that why did Vedavyasa Maharshi write Srimad Bhagavatam? And why did Parikshit Maharaj take into this Prayopavesham, or the giving of the body in sitting in one place? And these sort of questions were asked. So, because these questions were asked, Sudha Goswami had to answer all these questions before actually beginning Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam beginning means, the beginning actually begins in the third canto. That is where exactly Srimad Bhagavatam, in strict sense speaking, that Sudhaya Goswami was beginning Srimad Bhagavatam seriously there. But prior to that, he was preparing Parikshit Maharaj for listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. And in addition to that, we also find that the whole of first canto takes us back to Mahabharata also, to some extent, to hear to get an understanding of the background of Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll just read that second and the third chapter, then we can discuss that.
इति सम्प्रश्नसंहृष्टो विप्राणां रामहर्षणि प्रतिभूज्यवयस्तेषां प्रवक्तुपचक्रमे सूत उवाच यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुपेदम् अपेदकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकातरमाजुभाव पुत्रेति तन्मयदय तरवोऽभिनेदुतं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिम् आनतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमतिदीर्षदां तमोन्दम् संसारिणं करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्यासशून्यमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् मुनयः साधु पृष्टोऽहं भवद्भिर्लोकमङ्गलं यल्कृदा कृष्णसम्प्रश्नो येनाल्पा सुप्रसीदनि सवैकुं सम्परो धर्मं यथो रथिरथोऽक्षये अहैदुकीयप्रतिहर येऽल्पा सम्प्रसीदनि वासुदेवे भगवति भक्तियोगप्रयोजिता जनयत्याशु वैराग्यं ज्ञानं जयदहैदुगं धर्मस्वनिष्ठिलपुंसां विश्वक्सेन ग्रहासुयल् नोल्पादयेद्यतिरगिं शमैव हि केवलम् धर्मस्य ह्यावर्गस्य अर्थोत्थायोपकल्पते अर्थस्य धर्मैकान्नस्य कामो लाभाय हिस्पदा कामस्येन्द्रियप्रेद लाभो जीवेदयावला जीवस्य तत्त्वजिज्ञासा अर्थो यश्चेह कर्मभिः वदन्ति तत्त्वमिदं तत्त्वं यज्ञायमद्वयं ब्रह्मेति परमात्मेति भगवान् निषद्यते तच्छ्रद्धदानमुनयो ज्ञानवैराग्ययुक्तया पश्यन्त्यात्मनिजात्मानं भक्त्या शुभगृहीतया अलपुंभिर्द्विजश्रेष्ठ वर्णाश्रमविभागश सुनिष्ठितस्य धर्मस्य संसिद्धिर्हरितोषणम् तस्मादेकेन मनसा भगवान् सत्त्वदाम्बरि श्रोतव्यकीर्तितव्यश्च व्ययभूज्यश्च नित्यदा यदनुध्यासिना युक्ता कर्मग्रन्थिनिबन्धनम् छिन्दन्ति गोविदास्तस्य कोनगुर्याल् कथारतिम् शुश्रूषो श्रद्धदानस्य वासुदेव कदारिति स्यान्महल् सेवया विप्र पुण्यतीर्थनिषेवनाल् शृणुदां सकथां कृष्ण पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तनम् हृद्यन्वस्तो ह्यभद्राणि मिथुनो विशोदसनाम् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवतिमैष्टिनी यतदा राजस्तमोभाव कामलोहादयश्चे चेदवेदेरनाविद्धं स्थितं सत्त्वे प्रसीदति एवं प्रसन्न मनसो भगवद्भक्तियोगला भगवत्तत्त्वविज्ञानं मुक्तसङ्गस्य जायते विद्यते हृदयग्रन्थि छिन्दन्ते सर्वसंशया क्षीयन्ते जास्य कर्माणि कृष्णमेवाल्पनेश्वरे अतो वैकवयो नित्यं भक्तिं भरमया मुदा वासुदेवे भगवति कुर्वन् आत्मप्रसादनिम् सत्त्वं रजस्तमैति प्रकृतेर्गुणास्ते युक्तपरं वृषमेकमिहास्य दत्ते स्थित्यादये हरिविधिं जहरेति सत्यं श्रयां यत्र खलु सत्त्वधनो नृणां स्युम् पार्थिवद्धारिणो धूमस्तस्मादग्निस्त्रयीमय तमसत्वरजस्तस्मान् सत्त्वं यल् ब्रह्मदर्शनम् भेजिरे मनयोधाङ्गे भगवन्तमतोऽक्षयम् सत्त्वं निशुद्धं क्षेमाय कल्कन्दे ಯೇನುದಾನಿಹಾಂ ಮುಮುಕ್ಷವೋ ಘೋರ ರೂಪಾನ್ ಹಿತ್ವಾ ಭೂತಪಥೀನ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಕಲಾ ಶಾಂತ ಭಜಂದೆ ಹ್ಯನಸುಮೇವ ರಜಸ್ತಮ ಪ್ರಕೃತಯ ಸಮಶೀಲಾ ಭಜಂತಿ ವೈ ಪಿತೃಭೂತ ಪ್ರದೇಶಾದೀನ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಐಶ್ವರ್ಯ ಪ್ರಜೇತ್ಸವ ವಾಸುದೇವ ಪರಾ ವೇದ ವಾಸುದೇವ ಪರಾ ಮಖ ವಾಸುದೇವ ಪರಾ ಯೋಗ ವಾಸುದೇವ ಪರಾ ಕ್ರಿಯ ವಾಸುದೇವರಂ ಜ್ಞಾನಂ ವಾಸುದೇವರಂ ದವ ವಾಸುದೇವರೋ ಧರ್ಮೋ ವಾಸುದೇವ ಪರಾ ಗಿರಿ ಸ ಏವೇನಂ ಸಸರ್ಜಾಗ್ರೇ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಆಲ್ಪಮಾಯ ಸದಸದ್ರೂಪಯ ಚಾಸೋ ಗುಣಮಯ್ಯ ಗುಣೋ ವಿಭೂ ತಯಾ ವಿಲಸಿತೇಷು ಯೇಷು ಗುಣೇಷು ಗುಣಮಾನಿವ ಅಂತಃಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟಮಾಭಾದಿ ವಿಜ್ಞಾನೇನ ವಿಜೃಂಭಿನ ಯದಾ ವ್ಯಮಹಿತೋ ವಜ್ಞಿರ್ ದಾರುಶ್ವೇದಸ್ವಯೋ ನಿಷು ನಾನೇವ ಭಾದಿ ವಿಶ್ವಾಲ್ಪಾದೇಶು ತಥಾಪಮಾನ್ ಅಸೋ ಗುಣಮಯೇ ಭಾವೇ ಭೂತ ಸೂಕ್ಷ್ಮೇಂದ್ರಿಯ ಅಲ್ಪಭಿ ಸ್ವನಿರ್ಮಿತೇಷು ನಿರ್ವಿಷ್ಟೋ ಭುಂಕ್ತೆ ಭೂತೇಶು ನಲ್ಗುಣಾನ್ ಭಾವ ಯತ್ಯೇಷು ತತ್ವೇನ ಲೋಕಾನ್ಮಯಿ ಲೋಕ ಭಾವನ ಲೀಲಾವತಾರಾನುರದೋ ದೇವದಿರಿಂ ನರಾದಿಶೋ ಇದು ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತೇ ಮಹಾಪುರಾಣೇ ಪ್ರಥಮಸ್ಕಂದೇ ದ್ವಿತೀಯೋಧ್ಯಾಯಾಂ So the third chapter begins, Shri Suta Vaja, Jagrahe Paurusham Rupam Bhagavan Mahadadivi, Sambhutam Shona Shakalamado, Loga Sasrukshaya, Yasya Ambasishayanasya Yoga Nidram Vidanvada, Nadikradam Buddha Adasil Brahma Vishwasrajampati, Yasya Avayam Samstani, Kalpi Loga Vistara, Tadvai Bhagavad Rupam Vishuddham Sattvamurjinam, ಪಶ್ಯನ್ ವಿನೋ ರೂಪಮದ ಬ್ರಜಕ್ಷುಷ ಸಹಸ್ರಪಾದೋರ್ಭುಜಾನ ಅದ್ಭುತಂ ಸಹಸ್ರಮೂರ್ಧಶ್ರವಣಾಕ್ಷಿನಾಸಿಗಂ ಸಹಸ್ರಮೌಲ್ಯಂಬರಕುಂಡಲೋಲ್ಲಸ ಏತನ್ನಾನಾವತಾರಾಣಾಂ ವಿಧಾನ ಬೀಜಮವ್ಯಯಂ ಯಸ್ಯಾಂಶಾಂಶೇನ ಸೃಜ್ಯಂತೆ ದೇವದಿರ್ಯಂಗರಾಧಯಾಂ ಸೈವಗಮಂ ದೇವಾ ಕೌಮಾನಂ ಸರ್ಗಮಾಸ್ಥಿತ ಚಜಾರ ದುಶ್ಚರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಯಜ್ಞಮಖಂಡಿತಂ ದ್ವಿತೀಯಂ ನು ಭವಾಯ ಅಸ್ಯ ರಸಾದಲಗದಾಮಹೀಂ ಉದ್ಧರಿಷ್ಯನ್ನುಪಾದತ್ತ ಯಜ್ಞೇಶ ಸೌಗರ್ಯಂ ಅಭೂ ತೃತೀಯ ಮುಷಿ ಸರ್ಗಂ ಜಾತೇವರ್ಷಿತ್ವೇತ್ಯ ಸಾ ತಂತ್ರಂ ಸಾತ್ವಮಾನಿಷ್ಠಾನಿಷ್ಕರ್ಮ್ಯಂ ಕರ್ಮಣಾಮ್ಯದ ತುರಿಯ ಧರ್ಮಕಲಾ ಸರ್ಗೇ ನರ ನಾರಾಯಣಾಂಶಿ ಭೂತೋತ್ಮಾ ಊನಾತ್ಮವಶಮೋ ವೇದಂ ಅಘರೋ ದುಶ್ಚರಂ ತವ ಪಂಚಮ ಕಪಿಲೋ ನಾಮ ಸಿದ್ಧೇ ಶಕಾಲ ವಿಪ್ಲುತಂ ಪ್ರೋವಾವಾಸುರೇ ಸಾಂಖ್ಯಂ ತತ್ವಗ್ರಾಮ ವಿನಿರ್ಣಯಂ ಷಷ್ಠೇ ಅತ್ರೈರವತ್ಯತ್ವ ಮೃತ ಪ್ರಾಪ್ತೋನಸೂಯ ಅನುಕ್ಷೀಗಮ ಆರ್ಕಾಯ ಪ್ರಹ್ಲಾದಾಲಿಭ್ಯಮೂಜಿವಾನ್ ತಪ್ತಮ ಮಾಗುತ್ಯಮೃದೇ ಯಜ್ಞೋಭ್ಯಜಾಯದ ಸಯಾಮಾದೇ ಸುರಗಣೈರವಾಲ್ ಸ್ವಯಂಭುವಾಂತರಂ ಅಷ್ಟಮೇ ಮೇರು ದೇವ್ಯಾಂದು ನಾಭೇರ್ಜಾತಮರುಕ್ರಮ ದರ್ಶಯನ್ಮರ್ಮ ಧೀರಾರಾಂ ಸರ್ವಾಶ್ರಮ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತಂ ವಿಷಿಪಿರ್ಯಾಜಿತೋ ಬೇಜೆ ನಾಮಂ ವಾರ್ತಿಮಂ ಮಭೂ ದುಗ್ಧೇ ಮಾಮೌಷಧೇ ವಿಪ್ರಸ್ತೇನಾಯಂ ಸೌಷತ್ತಮ ರೂಪಂ ಸದೃಹೇ ಮಾತ್ಸ್ಯಂ ಜಾಕ್ಷಿವೋಷಧಿ ಸಂಪ್ಲವೇ ನಾವ್ಯಾರೋಪ್ಯೇ ಮಹೀಮಯ್ಯ ಮಪಾಲ್ ವೈವಸ್ವತಮ್ಮನಿಂ ಸುರಾಸುರಾಣಾಂ ದಧಿ ಮಧ್ರನಾಂ ಮಂದರಾಚಲಂ ದಧ್ರೇ ಕಮಲರೂಪೇಣ ಪೃಷ್ಠಮೇಕಾದಶೇ ವಿಭು ಧನ್ವಂತರಂ ದ್ವಾದಶಮಂ ತ್ರಯೋದಶಮೇವ ಚ ಅಪಾಯೇಲ್ ಸುರಾನನ್ಯನ್ ಮೋಹಿನ್ಯ ಮೋಹಯನ್ ಸ್ತ್ರಿಯ ಚತುರ್ದಶಂ ನಾರಸಿಂಹಂ ವಿಭ್ರದೈತ್ಯೇಂದ್ರಮೂರ್ಜಿತಂ ದದಾರಕರದೇರ್ವಕ್ಷಸ್ಯರಗಂ ಕಡಕೃಧ್ಯದ ಪಂಚದಶಂ ವಾಮನಗಂ ಕೃತ್ವಾ ಅಘಾಧ್ವರಂ ಬಲೇ ಪಾದತ್ರಯಂ ಯಜಮಾನಂ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಾದಿಸು ಸ್ತ್ರವಿಷ್ಟಮಂ ಅವತಾರೇ ಷೋಡಶಮೇ ಪಶ್ಯನ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮದ್ರೋಹೋ ನೃವಾನ್ ತ್ರಿಸಪ್ತಕ ಚಕ್ಕುಬಿದೋ ನಕ್ಷೇತ್ರಾಮಗರೋನ್ಮಹಿಂ ತದಸಪ್ತದಶೇ ಜಾತ ಸತ್ಯಮತ್ಯಂ ಪರಾಶರಲ್ ಚಕ್ರೈವೇದಯೋಷಾಂಗ ದೃಷ್ಟ್ವ ಪುಂಸೋಲ್ಪಮೇದಸ ನರದೇವತ್ವಮಾಪನ್ನಂ ಸುರಗಾರಿಚಿಗೀಷಯ ಸಮುದ್ರ ನಿಗ್ರಹಾನೀ ಚಕ್ರೇ ವೀರ್ಯಾಗ್ನಿಪರಂ ಏಕೋನವಿಂಶೋಂಶಿಮೇ ವಿಷ್ಣುಷು ಪ್ರಾಪ್ಯ ಜನ್ಮನಿ ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣಾವಿಭೂ ಭಗವಾನ ಹರದ್ಭರಂ ತದಕ್ಕಲೌ ಸಂಪ್ರವೃತ್ತೆ ಸಮೋಹಾಯ ಸುರದೃಶಾಂ ಬುದ್ಧೋ ನಾಂನ ಜನಸುಧಾ ಕೀಕಟೇಶು ಭವಿಷ್ಯತಿ ಅಧಾಸೋ ಯುಗ ಸಂಧ್ಯಾಯಾಂ ದಸ್ಯು ಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ರಾಜಸು ಜನಿತಾ ವಿಷ್ಣುಯಶಸೋ ನಾಂನ ಕಲ್ಕಿರ್ಜಗಲ್ಪದಿ ಅವತಾರೋಹ್ಯ ಸಂಯೋಯಂ ಹರೇ ಸತ್ವನಿಧೇರ್ದಿಜ ಯಥಾ ವಿನಾಶನೋ ಕುಲ್ಯಾ ಸರಸಸ್ಸು ಸಹಸ್ರಶ ವಿಷಯೋ ಮನವೋ ದೇವಾಮಿ ಪುತ್ರಾಹೌಜಸ ಕಲಾ ಸರ್ವೇ ಹರೇ ದೇವ ಸಪ್ರಯಾ ಪಥಯಸ್ತದಾ ಏತೇಜ ಅಂಶಗಳ ಪುಂಸ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ತು ಭಗವಾನ್ ಸ್ವಯಂ ಇಂದ್ರಾರಿ ವ್ಯಾಕುಲಂ ಲೋಕೇ ಮೃಳಯನ್ ನೀವೇ ಯುಗೇ ಜನ್ಮ ಮುಖ್ಯಂ ಭಗವದೋ ಏದಲ್ ಪ್ರಯದೋ ನರ ಸ್ವಯಂ ಪ್ರಾದರ್ಗುಣ ಭಕ್ತಿಯ ದುಃಖ ಗ್ರಾಮಿಮುಚ್ಯತೆ ಏಕದ್ರೂಪಂ ಭಗವದೋ ಅರೂಪಸ್ಥಿತಾತ್ಮನ ಮಾಯಾಗುಣೈರ್ವಿರಚಿತಂ ಮಹದಾಧಿಪಿರಾತ್ಮನಿ ಯಥಾ ನಪಸಿ ಮೇಘಾವೋ ರೇಣುವಾ ಪಾರ್ಥಿವೋ ನಿಲೇ ಏವಂ ದೃಷ್ಟಿರೇ ಮುಷ್ಯತ್ವ ಆರೋಪಿತಮ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಅದ ಪರಂ ಯದವ್ಯಕ್ತಂ ಅವ್ಯೂಢ ಗುಣವ್ಯೂಹಿತಂ ಅದೃಷ್ಟಾಶ್ರತಸ್ತಸ್ತ್ವಾಲ್ ಸಜೀವೋಯಲ್ ಪುನರ್ಭವಾಹ ಯತ್ರೇ ಸಂಸದ್ರೂಪೇ ಪ್ರತಿಷಿದ್ಧೇ ಸುಸಂವಿಧ ಅವಿದ್ಯಾತ್ಮನಿ ಕೃತೆ ಇದಲ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮದರ್ಶನಂ ಯದ್ದೇಶೋ ವರದಾದೇವಿ ಮಾಯಾ ವೈಶಾರದೀಮದಿ ಸಂಪನ್ನಮೇ ವೇದಿವಿದು ಮಹಿನ್ಯ ಸ್ವೇ ಮಹೀಯದೇ ಏವಂ ಜನ್ಮಾನಿ ಕರ್ಮಾಣಿ ಅಕರ್ತೂರದಿನಸ್ಯ ವರ್ಣಯಂದಿ ಸ್ಮಗವಯೋ ವೇದಗುಹ್ಯಾನಿ ಕಲ್ಪದೆ ಸವಾ ಇದಂ ವಿಷಮಮೋಖಲೀಲ ಸತ್ಯವತ್ಯನ್ನ ಸಜ್ಜತೆ ಎಸ್ಮಿನ್ ಭೂತೇಶು ಚಾಂತರ್ಹಿತಮಾಲ್ ಪದಂದ್ರ ಷಾಡ್ವರ್ಗಿಯಂ ಜಿಗ್ರೇಷವಿ ಗುಣೇಶಾಂ ನ ದಾಸ ಕಶ್ಚಿನ್ ನಿಪುಣೇನ ದಾದು ಅವೈದಿನಂ ದುಃಖಮನೀಷಮೂನಿ ನಾಮಾನಿ ರೂಪಾಣಿ ಮನೋಮಜೋಭಿ ಸಂತನ್ವದೋ ನಟಜ್ಞಾಮಿ ವಾಜ್ಞಂ സവേദാദോപദവീം പരസ്യ ദുരന്തവീര്യശ്രദ്ധാംഗമാണി യോ മായ സന്തതയാനുവൃത്യ ഭജേത തൽപാദ സരോജഗന്ധം അദ്ദേഹതന്യോ ഭഗവന്തമിത്തം യദ് വാസുദേവാഖില ലോകനാദേ കുർവന്തി സർവാത്മനമാത്മഭാവം നയത്ര ഭൂയം പരിവർത്തമുഗ്രാം ഇതം ഭാഗവതം നാമം പുരാണം ബ്രഹ്മസംഹിതം ഉത്തമശ്ലോകരിതം ചകാര ഭഗവാൻ ഋഷി നിശ്രേയസായ ലോകസ്യ ധന്യം സ്വസ്തൈനം മഹൽ തരിതംഗ്രഹയാമാസ സുതമാത്മോദാംബരം സർവവേദേതിഹാസാനാം സാരം സാരം സമുദ്രതം സതു സംശ്രാവയാമാസ മഹാരാജം പരീക്ഷിതം പ്രായ ഉപവിഷ്ടം ഗംഗായാം പരീതം ബ്രഹ്മർഷിഭി കൃഷ്ണേ സുധാമോ ഭഗതേ ധർമ്മജ്ഞാനാദിഭിഃ സഹ കലോ നഷ്ടവിഷാമേഷ പുരാണ ക്രോധുനോദിത തത്ര കീർത്തയതോ വിപ്രാക്ഷേർ ഗുരിതേജസാഹ അഹം ജാതകമം തത്രാത്മനിഷ്ടസ്തതനുഗ്രഹാൽ സോഹം അശ്രാവയിഷ്യാമി യഥാതീതം യഥാമതി ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതി മഹാപുരാണേ പ്രഥമസ്കന്ധേ തൃതീയോധ്യായം സോ വെൻ ദി വെൻ പരീക്ഷിത് വെൻ സുധഗോസ്വാമി വാസ് beginning to speak Srimad Bhagavatam to the sages. The sages wanted to hear so many things from Sudha Goswami. Apart from the questions he has raised, he wanted to hear everything what Sudha Goswami has spoken to Maharaj Parikshit. But very carefully, Sudha Goswami gave a warning to the sages, that I will tell you, Srimad Bhagavatam, what I heard from Sudeva Goswami, but don't expect me that I will tell you everything what I have heard there. That's why in the conclusion he says, yatha adidam yatha amati, according to my intelligence, what I have captured in while listening to Sudeva Goswami, that much, what my limited intelligence allows me, I will repeat all that to you. And that is how the that chapter finishes. So then in the continuation of that, then the next chapter begins again about the the reasons why Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Srimad Bhagavatam and why Narada Muni instructed Vedavyasa Maharshi, all those things comes much later. So we'll come to that in the next class, and if there's any questions or comments.
In the 10 incarnations, they mentioned Krishna as the one of incarnations.
Yeah.
It is supported by Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, Eti Samsakla Bhumsam Krishna Chodavam Sura.
Yeah.
And how this came, this 10 incarnations, Krishna is one of the incarnations.
Yeah. Therefore, how did that happen?
Yeah.
As I said, there was this verse which spoke very strongly that Krishna's incarnation. Mm-hmm. Although in the Bhagavatam it has been mentioned that Krishna is the Bhagavan Swayam. And some Acharya has mentioned that these are the 10 incarnations, and in that he has included Krishna also. But that is why when the 24 incarnations were mentioned, because Acharyas don't only consult Bhagavatam, they consult other Puranas as well. And so many other books they refer to when they write their conclusions. So somehow or the other, a false understanding has developed, like which happens in all time in the religious history, that Krishna is also another incarnation like many others. But Srimad Bhagavatam, if you follow Srimad Bhagavatam strictly, Bhagavatam says that Krishna is the Bhagavan Swayam, that Krishna is Supreme Lord Himself, and that 10 incarnations, one of them is actually Buddha, and which was left out by the Acharyas who spoke about the incarnations. So we have to understand that Buddha's appearance was not there. That was 2500 years since Bhagavatam was written, Buddha appeared. So most of the people were not aware of Buddha's, who Buddha is, Lord Buddha was. And so they had this false conclusion that that 10th missing must be Krishna. That's the way they have concluded. But it was Jayadeva Goswami when he wrote Gita Govindam, and similarly other great souls of his position who have mentioned that don't conclude that Krishna is an incarnation. Dashakritakrade Krishnaya Tubhyam Nama. To that Supreme Personality of God, that Krishna, who have taken these 10 different incarnations, I pay my obeisances. That is how he has welcomed. And in the Gita Govindam has a very, very special position in the devotional literature. It was written much before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance.
And Jayadeva Goswami was a devotee who had such a great ecstatic pastimes with Krishna and Radharani. And many of the Krishna's pastimes, which happened in Vrindavan, were manifested to him in his dreams and in his life itself. Mm-hmm. Krishna visited Jayadeva Goswami's house many times. And this Gita Govindam, when it was compiled itself, I mean the authority of the Gita Govindam is so high, it is in the devotional classic, it is considered more or less like a Upanishad. It's a position of Upanishad given to Gita Govindam in the devotional classic literature. And the reason for that is that the Jayadeva Goswami is he grew up in a nice family, and later on, as a great devotee, he took to writing seriously. And when Narayana Shastri and Kamala Devi, they were his parents, and he married Padmavati at a young age, and they settled down somewhere in Orissa that time. And when this book was written, Gita Govindam, every word in that book has been written after a lot of careful thinking, and virtually it is accepted that Krishna himself has given support to write this book. Krishna wrote that book through him. That's how it is understood by the devotees. Jayadeva Goswami, it is very difficult to say who are the greater devotee, whether it was Jayadeva Goswami or Padmavati Devi, his wife, because they were both were so elevated, and who one surpassed the other in many instances in their devotion. And there is, I think, 28 songs in that book altogether. And we get a lot of information, because many things weren't where clarifications are needed, you could refer to Gita Govindam, and Jayadeva Goswami gives answer to that in many instances. Like this song we sing in the morning, Savakara Kamalavare, glorifying Nasimhade, that's a part of the Dashavadara, the 10 incarnations, which is the second song in the Gita Govindam. And Srila Prabhupada was so fond of this song, that Dashavadara Stotram, that often at midnight, when all the devotees have slept, he used to sit with the harmonium and sing this song again and again. And that song has means a lot to Srila Prabhupada, because Prabhupada glorified, saw Krishna as the Supreme Lord through this song, that all these different incarnations that has appeared before, it has come from you. That's the way Prabhupada present in that. And so, apart from this Dashavadara Sotram, there are so many other songs in that, all very, very famous. And the beauty of all these songs is that all major temples in India, when the offering is made to Krishna, and Krishna had a nice feast, when the doors are open, these songs are sung by devotees in front of the deity. And therefore, these songs are also known as Sopana Sangeetam. Sopana Sangeetam means that music that is sung in front of the Sopanam, which is in front of the Krishna's altar. So that special position this music has, these songs have. And all these songs were written in very, very special ragas also. So those who have learned the classical music, they can sing this song in such a beautiful way that, and when one understands what actually being sung, that really brings a very higher level of devotional understanding of Jayadeva Goswami's realizations. And Jayadeva Goswami basically is presenting in Gita Govindam. The story is that Radharani, one gopi, and Krishna. There's only three people in that Gita Govindam. And Radharani is feeling the separation from Krishna, and the gopi is consoling Radharani by talking about Krishna to her. And this is the whole topic in the 28 songs in the Gita Govindam. All you hear is again this conversation between gopi and Radharani. And prior to every song, there is an invocation prayer, which is also very, very nicely written. and it is from the Gita Govindam we get a lot of information. Like I was saying that when Krishna was Krishna was small, that when they went to perform the Indrayaga ceremony, Krishna was instructed by one day it so happened, not the Indrayagam which was later on Krishna has blocked. There was one Indrayagam, one sacrifice for Indra, which happened when Krishna was much smaller, perhaps 2 years or so, 1.5, 2 years old. When he was every year, Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men, they used to perform this sacrifice for Indra for the sake of rain. So when Krishna was 7 years old, that sacrifice Krishna blocked, and from that it was stopped that day. But the Indriyagas which were performed prior to that, in one of the years, probably in the second year, I think it happened, that one day Nanda Maharaj told Yashoda and Krishna, you both stay home, I'm going to have this sacrifice organized there. And Rohini and Balaram, Rohini Devi, Balaram's mother, and Balaram also went along with Nanda Maharaj for the sacrifice, for organizing it. So everybody was there in the, that was on the banks of the river Yamuna, they were doing that sacrifice. So they told Krishna and Yashoda Devi to stay home. Krishna said to Nanda Maharaj, I have to go with you. You cannot leave me here. I'm going with you, he said. Nanda Maharaj told him that, look, if I take you now, and I will be a long time, I could get stuck there with so many things going on. And if it get very late, then if you start crying that you want to see your mummy, it may be difficult for me to bring you back, because it's a long way, they have to come back, it takes a long time. And you will start crying, then you want to see your mother, and then I cannot bring you.